Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Mega Ran, back with another episode of Random Encounters, where I usually take a few minutes to talk to people in different walks of life on what makes them tick, what gets them by, and how we got here. So my guest today is Montezy. Montezy, how you doing, sir?
Big bro, I'm doing very well, man. Taking everything a day at a time and just forward, man. Just moving forward in the process of life, man. Staying healthy during this time, and everything's good. But how you been, man?
I've been all right, man. I've been keeping it moving, man. Absolutely staying busy, staying motivated, and trying to stay creative, you know? So let's take it back to the beginning. I want to talk to you and let the people know the very first time I met you was at WrestleMania. What weekend was that?
Oh, 33?
I think it was maybe 33. We're in Orlando, right?
Yes.
Okay, so in Orlando, what had happened was I was just kind of hanging around doing all types of events and WrestleCon and a bunch of other things. So WrestleCon had this really cool event, and you told me that you were going to be performing there and that you and I should do something together there. And I was like, oh, wow. So then we showed up and the event was dope. I think like JR was there, Ric Flair, like all types of folks were there. And so the first time I meet you is like in the midst of this event that's going down, you know? And that was really when I saw one, like the sheer size of like WrestleMania weekend and what that was about. And also seeing like your hustle and how much you moved around that weekend too, was really motivating. Now, I would say you've been connected with the wrestling and hip hop community longer than I have. And so talk a little bit about maybe starting off in that, like making theme songs and things like that. Like, how'd that start for you? And where have you seen like the wrestling and hip hop community connection go since then?
Absolutely, man. Thank you for the compliments as well, man. You know, 2014, man, it really began for me. Made my first wrestling song for Roman Reigns just randomly, bro. Being with my son, and he was an infant at the time, and I just, you know what? I was watching WWE Network, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna make this song about Roman Reigns. So I randomly wrote it, went on Wikipedia, and saw some things about him, and just tried to put it in a rap thing and rap. The crazy thing about it, man, is that you were a big inspiration to a lot of this. Once I saw you on the, you know, hit the Bleacher Report, and you did the Monday Night Rant things where every Monday you had a song dropping. Well, I believe it was Walk Culture, right?
Yes.
And you had those things. It inspired me so much because it showed that, okay, one, it's a hustle with consistency, but two, I feel like that when we came in, me, you, the Rated R's, a lot of us came in, you had the guys like the Wale's and the Smokes and stuff like that, but we came in a different way. So it was almost for us, it was like all of us had to figure it out. You know, we've had personal conversations. It's about figuring this out. And it's a very, very weird thing, you know what I mean, to figure out. But, you know, this whole time, it's been a whirlwind, man. You know, it's been a whirlwind of just being an artist, and being able to have guys like yourself and you know, not only show me love, but us collaborating and showing love and working together and all of us supporting each other, man. And that's one thing that was very, very important to me, is that if I wanted to come in, I just wanted to have my little slice of the pizza and just do my own thing. And when we first met, you co-signed me from the beginning. You showed me mad love, and you didn't have to do that. You to do that and to show love, and to say, you know what, man, I respect you, bro. You know, and I respect what you're doing. It meant a lot to me. You know what I mean? I was watching what you were doing from afar, and we were all moving in our parallels. But just watching someone else who's like talented and can do that, and I was rooting for you from the sidelines. And then I told my friend that I reached out to him and built a relationship with you. Everybody was ecstatic. Yo, that's the guy to me, because, you know, Mega Ran really put his all into that. So you are a lot behind this foundation as well when I first started.
Thank you, man. Like, it was the same for me. Like, when I started doing the thing, you know, with wrestling, I guess it was 2015, 2016, was when I started the Mat Mania Project. And I didn't see a lot of, you know, hip hop artists, you know, embracing their love for wrestling. You know, we like you said, we saw Wale, we saw Smoke Dizza, later West Side Gun, a bunch of other cats. But it was cool to see, you know, and for me, like I had already had a lot of experience working as a artist who was also like a fan of other like fandoms, you know what I mean? Like with video games for me, with comic books, with anime, and putting those into music. So I've seen those growing pains, you know, where people maybe would be like, oh, we don't really take this seriously if you're rapping about this other thing. You know what I mean? Have you seen that with wrestling where like somebody may come up and maybe hear of you and be like, ah, this is just, he's just a fan of wrestling. Like this ain't real rap or whatever. You know what I mean? Have you heard those type of like whispers on the sidelines?
Yeah. Like it's crazy because I know what you mean now. You know what I mean? It's crazy, especially within this line of work that, you know, it's kind of surprising. It is kind of surprising when people in this line and the rest of a lot of work know who you are, or know what you're doing, or they address you as TZ or, you know, Mega Ran and stuff like that. Because every time I talk to someone that is a wrestler, it's the names that come up, obviously Wale, and then it's me, you, and Josiah. You know what I mean? Those are the names that are mentioned. And there's many other people that do great things. I've been saying as far as people who come to me and kind of know the names of people who are around. You know what I mean? And seeing how, you know, that parallel of how the wrestling industry works, it took a long time for me to understand it. One thing I did was I did confide in a lot of the wrestlers in the business that I liked and that I trusted, kind of helped me maneuver around the business and know how to maneuver around and what to take personal, what not to take personal. And I had to go through a crash course of everything in this, you know what I mean? And being able to take this, not take everything to heart, because, you know, when you're a good person, you come out with a good energy, you think everything's going to be reciprocated. Then when you realize that some things aren't, you know, and you have to know how to move and not take it to heart in some ways or certain things, just keep it moving. Then I learned to sleep better and say, you know what, I'm giving it my best, and you know that person's energy I don't need to be around. So other energies that I'm around and people, you know, and it's been a great experience. But I do deal with that a lot now that I'm like, I know what you're talking about now that I'm there. You know what I mean?
People that stay the course are the people who kind of can wade through that. And that's really what it comes down to. I think a lot of folks will look at something as a gimmick if they see it pop off as like a one-time thing or whatever. But if they see that you're continuing to do it, like I'm continuing after the Monday Night Ran, after the whatever Bleacher Report or whoever, you know, has taken a hold of it, I do it for myself, you know. And I think that when people see that, then, you know, they kind of get through those initial, like, you know, hesitancies, and they're like, oh yeah, he's actually really about this life. You know what I mean? So I think that's a lot of it, and you'll see it. And it's whether or not you just choose to kind of tune the noise out. You know, I always think of that, Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, always talking about the noise and how you tune the noise out, but after a while, the noise begins to motivate you. You know what I mean? And so that was always a real big thing for me, is to take the naysayers and the doubters and things and use that to my advantage. So during that weekend, I wound up doing an event with What Culture. And I remember doing the tracks every weekend for What Culture, and response majority positive, but there would always be a few like real slick comments like, oh, this is trash, or oh, this sounds like some bootleg, whatever, you know. And when I came to that event and I was kind of sitting there signing, fans were coming up like, oh, you're the guy who does the weekly, you know, What Culture things, right? And it was nothing but love. You know what I mean? And that's what let me realize that, yo, like the internet is not real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Real conversations are what's real, and real like impact and having, you know, that stuff's real. Like internet comments and things are not real. And so that helped me a lot, because I was like, oh man, I don't want to sit here with these guys. They, you know, my video got, you know, 100 thumbs downs on their channel. Like they might be really hating, you know. But no, it was just nothing but love. So it kind of showed me that. So when you're talking about advice, what's the best advice you think you ever got, whether it's from like a pro wrestler or like a mentor or something like that?
Wow. In this line of business, of the things that we're doing, in the two most opinionated sports that were in, male-dominated sports, which is hip-hop and wrestling, that we both have thrived in, which shows the type of testicular fortitude we both have. I would have to say that, you know, the best advice I got in this is that, you know, that be prepared for sudden changes. Being able to adapt. You're dealing with a lot of things, a lot of people who might not have had success before. And you might be dealing with people who can get success and they change. Get people who can get success and they're the same person. So it's being able to adapt and watch. And, you know, my mentor always told me to remain a sniper. Always just lay in the cut, stay guarded, stay covered, stay hidden. And, you know, your target will come out and anything in life you want. You might be sitting there in position for days until that target comes. But when it does, and you get that one shot, take it. So many people want to be front line with everything. They want to be in everybody's face. They want to have the close up shotgun to everything, and you can't. You know, there's a part of you that's going to be left open. You can't see everything. So if you sit back with the sniper mindset, you have the best scope of view, and you can just sit down and just take your time and take your shot when you get it. And I always tell people that, you know, my mentor always gave me that sniper advice. Whenever I find myself getting too crazy or letting the entertainment business get to me, I just say, remain a sniper. My emotions calm down. Back, I was like, you know, he's 100% right. Just sit back, wait for your shot. Everybody else is going to do what everybody's doing. Everybody has their time. But, you know, we're lucky to where, you know, you've been rapping longer than me, so you know that the game goes in waves. Sometimes you get this wave, sometimes it chills for a bit, and then you get another wave that lasts 2-3 years. And then you might chill for a year. You know, you're just being consistent. So you've always found a way to reinvent yourself. One thing I thoroughly appreciate about you, big brother, you've reinvented yourself hundreds of times in the simple one project that you would do is always something different. So.
I look at the artists, the MCs I came up listening to, and I just remember a lot of them, the risks they've taken. One of my favorites of all time is Common. And you look at him as a guy who has constantly reinvented himself, constantly challenged himself, challenged, you know, traditional thought, challenged where the industry was going. And I just remember one time he said, how can you create back-to-back albums that sound the same? And I was like, oh, wow. You're like, how can you, like, if you haven't experienced anything between these albums, then maybe you shouldn't be putting another album out, you know? And I've always taken that to heart, like, wow, that's real, you know? And you should always take people on a journey. But that comes with challenging yourself and as well as challenging your audience. I get people, you know, from the records I make or from the two hands up and be like, well, I like it, but I wish it was more about video games or I wish it was more about wrestling. And it's like, well, you can go back and listen to those if you want that, you know. But right. This ain't the time for that, you know. So I look at it like there's different times for everything, man. But back to wrestling a little bit. What's your earliest wrestling memory? Like, what do you recall as the thing that like either got you into it or that you can clearly remember from the beginning of your relationship with it?
Man, it goes back to WrestleMania 8. Very first pay-per-view that I remember watching. My mom and grandma used to order the pay-per-views for me when I was a kid, punch in the pay-per-views. I grew up during the golden era. The golden era of 1990 to 1995.
Was that Hogan and Sid or?
Yep, that was Hogan, Sid. That was Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, one of my favorite matches of all time. Macho, yeah. Macho and Ric Flair. Macho and
Flair, yeah.
One of my favorite matches of all time, strictly because I remember that time. You had the young Undertaker, the original, you know, Paul Bear out there. You had Tito Santana versus Shawn Michaels. You had, so those matches were jam-packed, man. Tatanka was wrestling that night. It was a good card. By the way, shout out to my favorite heel of all time, 91 Jake the Snake. I love 92. Jake the Snake with the snake when he had a mouth. I love that. That's my favorite heel of all time. But just keep moving. That was my first recollection of wrestling. And I've been hooked ever since, man. They always used to have my dates. Like, I'll never forget watching King of the Ring 96. Stone Cold says, that's the bottom line of Stone Cold says so on my birthday. And I'm like, he said, that's dope. I'm like 8 years old watching this. And then it ends up becoming his thing. You know what I mean? So my early recollection of wrestling was watching Bret Hart and Roddy Piper. The very first matchup I ever remember watching in its entirety was Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper. Bret Hart was my goat. I'm like, got to fake, he's dope. And that was my first recollection of wrestling. Oh, man, I actually remember more wrestling than I remember my first time knowing hip-hop song.
Wow. That's dope. Okay, so when I met you, Montezzi was theme song king. Now, recently, I've read Montezzi the Titan. And then I've also seen you say and announce that you would not be doing wrestling themes anymore. What was the motivation behind this change?
Something in me, like, just said, I always told myself I was going to be Barry Sanders than Emmitt Smith, if you get what that means.
Mm-hmm. For the people who don't, that's a really good description.
Gotcha. I would rather do something at my max, do something at the max of what I did, and I believe everything comes in time and waves, and everybody has their time. I believe that my prime of doing what I love to do was it was a long 6 years of doing it, but at a certain point you have to get into other avenues of what you want to do. I really wanted to get into the media side, which obviously with the Swerve City Podcast on WWE Network now, what we do. Well, that door was able to be open. So I wanted to have my full focus, and I didn't want nothing to distract that. And also, I wanted to give people, I became incensed on showing people that I could do other kind of music. You know what I mean? It became something that's incensed with me because, like you said, you work so hard to have a lane in what you do. But then after a while, if you don't balance it out or you don't do other things, or if you don't get stuff off your chest that goes on in your life, you're going to feel typecasted. You know what I mean? And it was just better for me to be a Barry Sanders who can play, 8 years, 9 years, however many years he played, and just do what he wanted to do with Emmitt Smith and go to the Arizona Cardinals and win Super Bowls, but just want to keep playing when heart isn't there anymore on that side. I want to get into other things. I believe that. Whatever people feel my legacy is, I gave him my all. I gave him all, but I really wanted to do different avenues in wrestling and get into different parts. If the right record comes on, like if Mega's like, yo, I need you on something, then that's different. But if it's something like me just doing it, nah, I'm good, man. I think I've done what I wanted for that. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. I feel that. Like, I respect it. A lot of folks... One, in hip hop anyway, retirement is like the dirty word. It's like I think Jay-Z probably was the one who made it that way, or maybe Too Short, because they both said they retired and then continued on afterward or came back. So it got to the point where like people didn't take any sort of retirements in hip hop seriously, where it's like, oh, they say they're never going to do that thing again, but then they do it. That's what's made me afraid to do that. Like, I've literally composed the messages, you know, wrote the letters to be like, I'm about to say that I'm never doing another, say, Mega Man rap song, or I'm about to not do any more video game remixes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I don't think I want to say that because I don't want anybody coming back to be like, oh, I thought you said, you know. So I just kind of leave it in the air, and people will notice if it doesn't happen for a while. And for me, that's what gets me to know, like, if it's something that I want to do, if it's passionate, like, I could wake up tomorrow and be like, yo, I want to do 10 wrestling themes. And then I could wake up the next day and be like, I'll never want to do this again. So because of that, I know.
How do you battle that? You know what I mean? Because you've been at this a long time. Not, I just want to ask you as well, see where your mindset is with it. Like, is it just, you go by a day of, like, when you're motivated to do it? Or is it like, how does that go for you now?
Yeah, it's motivation. I feel good, man. I'm in a position where, like, I don't have to do anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get to do the things I want. And I have to kind of convince myself of that. Like, hey, look, you don't have to. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, you've created it. I've created 3 Mad Mania albums. I don't have to do any more of that, you know? So it just took a moment of me having a conversation with myself, the come to Jesus moment, if you will, where I was just like, yo, you've done it. Like, people know what you can do. They, like, you can pull up old tracks to be like, we know what this guy can accomplish. So, but if I feel like I myself have something to prove to me, or just that I want to, then I do it. But that's what it is to me. But that took a lot of years of making mistakes, maybe forcing out music or content in certain directions just to be like, oh, I don't want people to think I forgot or I fell off, you know? And so that is something I've had to fight with. But now I think I'm comfortable, you know? So I've put myself in a position, and I've talked to you about this even privately off mic, like, yo, I'll do it when I want to do it. I'll do it if I'm being paid to do it, you know, but I also don't want to be everybody's free advertisement, you know? So that's a big part of it for me, where I was like, well, I want to do it if I want to do it, because again, I do believe that I do have some sort of influence, you know what I'm saying? And so therefore I don't want to just give away free advertisement too much. So yeah, that's another big part of it. It's like, you know what I can do. I know what I can do. Now it's time to break bread. And so that brings me to my next point, which is 2020 has been a ridiculous year in so many ways. But for me, most importantly, I think racially, it's been a really, really big tumultuous year for Black people everywhere. We've gotten, you know, we've seen so much, we felt so much. And this summer particularly was very rough for a lot of us, just seeing what was happening. Is that a lot of maybe what has influenced the direction of the new record? Or in general, how have the events of this year affected you as an artist?
You know, kind of piggybacking off what you said to lead to this point, I had to have that come to Jesus moment with myself, where it's like, okay, I'm in my 30s now. What am I going? What legacy am I going to keep? Am I going to continue to do this? You know, I feel like I've already capped out on what I wanted to do, and kind of feel solidified with my career, and move on to other things that I want to talk about. And I finally made the decision of, me and Swerve had a long conversation. He's like, you're not going to stop until you're at peace, and then you can move on to other things. You got to get at peace first. So I really got at peace. Okay. I want to get into working on my Eric Son project, which I've been putting off for 3 years. And I want to put out a trilogy of my life as a child, my life now, and then when I get a little older, my kids get grown, I can talk about that part of my life. But right now, I really need to start getting this done. So, me and Swerve just impromptu, randomly just started. He wanted to get in the studio and start making music. We randomly just started. I coached, gave him the coaching. Went in the studio and started, you know, doing his thing. And we made that first album. It was received very well. And then we started getting right back in the studio working on this second one that we just released. EPS. The first one was called From Humble Beginnings. the second group album was GPS. In the meantime, during that time, I was working on my album, Erica's Son. And I really wanted to just go a different route, man. I had so much to say. I have so much to say. Because I wasn't the type of person where when I was not involved in wrestling, I'd talk, put out a whole bunch of other stuff. I really was focused on that. So now I feel like people are really getting to know me for the first time. And, you know, that's what changed the direction. This pandemic really made me sit down and think about my legacy. That's where the retirement came from. That's where all that came from, was me sitting back about my legacy. Am I doing too much? Have I capped off? Am I just going to do this just to do it? You know what I mean? Like, hey, I can call so-and-so to be in my music video and I can do a rap song. But like you said, like, how much advertisement without guarantee am I going to do after a certain point? So I said, you know what? Nah, I'm good. And I started working on the other music, the group music and the solo music, and doing other collaborations and other things that, you know, showed that, okay, I was still sharp, I was still there. So that really inspired the albums this year, man. It was just, COVID really did help it. It required me to sit down and think. And I was also ready to start a new legacy as well.
I'm all about that. I hear that. I like all the talk of legacy. I mean, I'm older than you, so you're a little young to be thinking about legacy, but I appreciate that. You know, like, at some point you got to think about it. Like, how, what are you leaving behind? Like, and what do you want to leave behind? You know, so yeah, I respect that, man. So the new album, Erica's Son, I love it. It's very personal, but also like very dope. So I got to ask you one question about the intro. Intro, self-motivated. I love it. You got our homie on there, Johnny LaQuasto. Did he write that? Because that's like, he came with some bars on that. So I just want to ask about the intro and how this came together. And what's up with that?
Listen, man. First of all we did was talk about you the whole time in the studio, right?
So first, Johnny's my dude, man. He's a good guy.
That was the liaison. That's when the ice broke with me and him. Because he's like, oh, okay, you're teasing. Okay, cool. And I say, hey, man, I know Mega Ran. He's like, then his whole demeanor changed. Oh, you know Mega Ran? Oh, that's my guy. And I was like, okay. I just had to drop the secret password.
I had to drop the secret password to get
him to open up. But he opened up. I showed him pictures that we took together and the song. He's like, oh, send me these songs. So that's when it opened up. And I said, man, I want you to do something on the intro, man. I just need your voice. Because me and Swerve was going to work with him on something, but it just didn't work out. So I'm like, hey, why don't you do some of my intro for my project? And he sat down. He wrote that whole thing by himself.
Wow. I didn't know. I mean, I know Johnny's a very talented guy. Shout out to Johnny. I knew him as a comedian. I knew him as a commentator, play-by-play guy. And he's from Philly like me. But I didn't know he could, like, write. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, it just showed me a different side of him that I had no idea of. But I was like, at the same time I was surprised, I was like, you know what? Johnny's like all of us, like hustlers, like people who constantly are building skills, building talents, and working on crafts and constantly working on things. So I was like, this shouldn't surprise me. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, this guy got that. He got the hustle in him, just like us. So of course he can write. Like, it just hit me as I was listening, like, oh yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense, knowing how I know this guy. So so yeah, man, he killed it, man. I was on the highway like, what? Listen to Johnny go. Like, so shout out to John, man. The album is super dope. My favorites, my favorite for right now is Gotta Be Glad to Be Black. That's my joint right there. So can you tell me a little bit about that track? How did it come together? Who produced it? Well, tell me about it.
Yes, man. Shout out to my guy. Shout out to my guy, Urban Nerds. He's a guy off YouTube that I found, and you know, we did good business. And I sat back and pardon anybody who didn't know this, but a lot of that, the, you know, the movement that you and RK had, had a lot to inspire me with writing Black Boy and Glad to Be Black. It gave me, I'll be that honest with you, it gave me a lot of incentive to say, okay, I have to talk about this as a Black man in America, because it's just, it has to be spoken about. Everybody, it's something happening to everyone out here. So we have to, I feel like it was our duty and the responsibility. Once I saw you guys put out that product, I was saying, it's my duty as well to put that out. And Glad to Be Black was a record that, it was the first time I just tried to use my voice in a different way. Everybody's used to me sounding kind of just hard bars or, you know, just a lyricist, but I tried to add more harmonies and tried to make it fun for like kids to listen to. And, you know, you can be proud to be Black. And, you know, I listen to, if you hear some of the puns in the song, you know, you're shouting out like a Tupac or something like that. But I listen to Gotta Keep Your Head Up before I wrote the song, just to get that feeling. That you know, get that uplifting feeling, you know. And that record is actually, videos being in production of in January. So a music video will be done to that song. Due to high demand, a lot of people like that record. So a little video that we did that's going to come out first, but then that's going to come out. And you know, man, I'm really proud of that record, man. It showed a lot of growth in me of not being afraid to try new things, and to be able to speak to the men first, and then the second verse speak to the women, and just cap that off, man. This record, you know, it was written in the fabric of, you know, I want these 10 songs to kind of hit. It's all based on my childhood and lessons that I learned. And I wanted to cap these 10 songs out the best way that I could on my childhood. So everything that I'm speaking on is either, you know, my childhood or something that people can know about that, my life going on at that time. And Glad to Be Black was, you know, hey, you know, always be proud of who you are, especially as a Black man or a Black woman. Be proud of that. And that was the basis of it.
It hit me, man. It definitely touched me. I was like, oh, man, this is what I needed to hear. One thing I've had kind of issue with, but I mean, me and RJ are working on it on the follow-up, is that our first record didn't necessarily really speak to women as much as I wanted to. And that's a lot of what we're going to like make up for on the second record. So there's a lot of that coming. But yeah, I feel like when that happened, that record came out in May of this year, and then like the world kind of blew up. You know what I mean? It was like literally to the point where like it was that on everybody's mind. Like there was George Floyd, there was all these other things. So I'm like, oh, finally, you know, like we can talk about these things. Like, and people are actually listening. You know, I felt like this year, if there's one good thing that's come of it, hopefully, is that people are willing to listen to the real, and you know, to how it really is from a lot of different perspectives. And so I appreciated that, hearing that from this record. So I also really love, and maybe I'm a little biased, I love Greatest Ever. I think everybody came with it and killed it on this record. So I only know from my perspective how this song came to me, but how did Greatest Ever come together? What made you put Sky Zoo, Mega Ran, and Josiah Williams on the track?
So this is funny, right? Because I always look at us as like three kings in this movement. You know what I mean? Shout out to everybody else as well. Just coming up with like little fun stable names with stuff like in wrestling, because it's fun to do. Mm-hmm. So, Josiah obviously had us on his song. Let Him Know. Both of us. He gave us shout out to him for throwing us our roses on that one. Love that record. You bodied that record. So this one, I was like, you know what, man? There's a remix version that, you know, that's going to have some MCs on there. And I said, you know what, for this version, I want to have the two guys that really, really motivate me in this lane, and saying, you know, I want to get them on a regular record. So I reached out to you, and then Josiah was like, yeah, send me it, man. Now I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I already had Sky Zoo's hook planned for a long time. I had that hook from Sky for a long time. Mm. It was just going to be initially me and him. And I was like, nah, I need some features on this one. Yeah. And and then we did it, and then I got guys' verses back, and I'm just like, yo, man, listen, you guys are just aliens, man. And I wrote my part, and then just hearing it back, there's one of the records I sat in the studio, and I just listened to it five times. I told my engineer, I said, just repeat it like five times. I just want to listen to it. Does it sound the way that I think it sounds to me when I hear it? Does it sound like something big? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when these guys team up, don't mean they have to be on every single record together all the time. It doesn't mean they have to be, or maybe they do, but it just shows that when these guys form that team and holler on the same record, these guys all bring something different to the table. And the record was amazing. And thank you guys for not only blessing it, thanks guys for thinking a catchy hook and making something that you can kind of nod your head to, vibe to, and hear everybody just go, you know, everybody talk, make their feeling on why they're the greatest ever and what they do. So it was an amazing record. And thank you again for getting on that, my brother.
Man, thank you for having me on it, man. I'm a big fan of Sky Zoo. Love his music. Been listening for a long time. So it was an honor to be on a record with you, with him, with Josiah. Like, and I do feel like everyone in what they do are among the greatest, man. So it's a great record to be a part of. And it wasn't like, oh, just give me wrestling bars. It's about this wrestler. And it's like, nah, let's just make a real record. And like, I really appreciated that. And these are the records that last. I think this is a record that has like some real staying power on it. So if y'all haven't heard it yet, album's Erica's Son by Montese. It is an incredible record front to back. So now I'm going to get you out of here with these final questions. All right. What would you be doing if it wasn't hip hop? What would you be doing?
I would be doing motivational speaking. I would be going around the world doing speeches, trying to motivate people to be better in life. That's my next goal I'm getting into. Yeah. That's my next goal in life I'm getting into. Yeah, that would be it.
Okay. When you write, is it lyrics first, music first, hook first? How's it go?
Good question. I'm usually a lyrics first guy. Okay. I am a lyrics first guy. I normally write my bars, then I do the hook. And then, or if you're saying, like, does the music have to be playing? Yeah, the music has to play first. I have to let the beat tell me what to do first. I can't just write bars and then just find a beat that no. I think it kind of, for some reason, it kind of forces me that way. It kind of forces when you do that, in my opinion. But I listen to the beat, then I write the verses, and then I cater the hook kind of around what I was talking about.
Got you. All right, so tell me about Swerve City Podcast. How did it get started? And the process of taking that from an independent production to WWE Network, where it runs, what, every week now?
Every Friday morning, we have an episode on the network coming out, man.
Hey, that's what's up. So how'd the show start for y'all? And then what was the process, what were the talks like to get it to where it is now?
And me and Swerve, we've actually known each other since 2015. Swerve's always been a good, laid-back dude. You know what I mean? One of the few people I would take a bullet for out here, man. He's a good guy. And we just adapted as friends. We have a lot of similarities as people. So we kind of just click. We clicked and just, we're just like two peas in a pod with a lot. So, one day I booked him for an interview. And I just paid him out of my pocket. And he drove all the way down to where I'm at, an hour and a half, and I interviewed him. And I asked him about hip hop and life. And he loved my style of format and his questions, because I didn't ask him the regular wrestling stuff. So he said, hey man, I want to start a podcast with you. I said, okay, bro. So he called me that night after we were done with the interview. And he said, hey man, High Spots is gonna do it, High Spots is gonna pay. If you can get here to Orlando, we shoot episodes. Cool. So we ended up doing Swerve Talk with Sammy Callahan. Shout out to Big Bro Sammy. Love you, bro. And he ended up directing it. So we did that for about a year. Then Sammy had to go on to different duties. So I brought my guy Siren on, my childhood friend I've known for 15 years. And he's a cameraman. He does all the camera stuff now. So it was just me, Siren, and him. Eventually, we brought in Mike because we needed help with the audio. We needed help with someone who's got graphics and can do great with graphics and put stuff up on and have different ideas and more of a computer whiz. So we got him. It was us, and then we had, and then Sis and Big Swole joined us at the time. Up to Sis. She joined us at the time, and we all were clowning. And then we grabbed X, who does our social media, who basically just grab our clips and does. He's another editor, so we have three editors basically on the team. And you need that much when you have that much content. But you know, we've been moving, man. It ended up going from high spots to being picked up by the E, the WWE really, really loved it. I'm more than thankful to WWE for the opportunity, for them knowing me by my name, showing me love, and you know, being able to give me this opportunity to be able to showcase my talents. And I'm glad that I'm actually having a door open doing media and not music, because people get to see my personality. I really, really love that. And the music kind of just comes with it, but that's who we are. But I really am glad it comes in on the media side, because that helps with motivational speaking. That helps me get a deeper relationship with the wrestlers when they come in and they be interviewed too. So shout out to everybody who's came on the podcast. You've been a guest before. We look to have you back. And, you know, we're just keeping moving, man. It's just everything is slowly grinding. We built the team up one by one. One by one, we built the team up. We trusted everybody. Everybody put their 100% in it, and that's what got us here.
That's what's up. I've done the podcast. I guess it was year before last, or last year?
Last year.
Man, time is going so fast. So yeah, this last year, and it was super dope. I love the fact that when I did the podcast, I came through. It was a real professional setup. It was great questions, great conversation. Everybody contributing, you know, and I take note to that, you know, and I love that about it, is that there's a team and everybody has a role. And I think that's so important with anything, like creating anything. So that was dope. And that was actually very, very motivational to see how smooth everything ran. So shout out to Swerve City Podcast and the whole crew. So you got a lot going on, man. And I'm going to get you out of here with a couple of silly questions.
Sure, man.
Have you ever rode a horse?
Yes. Yes, I have. And I was terrified.
When was that?
I was a teenager, and me and my girlfriend at the time went on to say, oh, let's get on these horses. And I'm like, oh, God. So, you know, I'm 5'5", soaking wet, and I have to put my foot over this horse and then try to learn to control it. And this horse is huge, and I had to get a stool to get up there to get my foot in the saddle. So, you know, it was, and then he started riding, and then just, you know, they pick up speed, man. You don't know what to do if you don't know how to handle it. You know what I mean? So it's been an experience, man. It's been experience riding that horse, but I don't know if I'd do that again.
Okay, fair enough. What is your go-to meal at your favorite restaurant?
Yellow rice. Lima beans, if they have it, black beans, with some grilled salmon.
Okay. Good one. And lastly, what are you not good at? Like, if somebody asked you to do something, you'd just be like, nope, I would ruin this. No.
Not the greatest at building things.
Okay.
I'm a hands-on dude. I don't mind, like, I mean, I could use a hammer and a nail. I'm not saying that, but like building like these things that people can just look at a box and build a 2,000 piece thing. I've never been good at that. I don't know if the patience, I don't know if it's just the way I was brought up. I don't know, but like those, like building, you know, building something, as far as, you know, it could be like those 2,000 piece Lego sets. Like, how do you do that? You know what I mean? Like, like it's not my forte, man. It's not my strength. You know what I mean? I'm more of a, I can watch someone be an architect, but there's no way I can sit there and draw. Like, I'm not a good drawer. If I could draw a good stick figure, I'd be surprised. So I'm not a good doodler or nothing like that, man. It's not my strength, man. Everything is more mental and more about vocal creativity than more of the, you know, the pen and pad to draw something. I see people can draw like other people's faces for like 20 minutes, look just like them. Like, how? You know what I mean? But yeah, that's one thing I'm not good at, is building things and drawing.
Okay. Wow. All right, and the last one, since you're a hip-hop artist and wrestling fan like myself, I'm going to ask you to compare rappers to wrestlers, or to give me a wrestler counterpart to a rapper, or a rapper counterpart to a wrestler.
Sure.
All right. So, who is the Undertaker of the rap game?
Snoop Dogg.
Okay. All right. That is a really good one. All right. Who is the Tupac of wrestling?
The Tupac of wrestling.
So, like, beloved by everyone, maybe career cut a little short, but undoubtedly a legend. Everybody loves
him. Probably Punk.
Okay.
Probably Punk, especially at his peak, I'd say him, yeah.
That's a good one. All right. And who are the Road Warriors of the rap game?
Ooh, tag team.
Yeah.
Who are the Road Warriors of the rap game? A group?
Yeah, it's a group, a duo that's unstoppable.
You know what? They don't get their credit because they're like a certain style, but they've never been without each other. M.O.P., bro.
Good answer. I like it. M.O.P. They definitely don't get the respect they should get, but they always bring it.
They're legends. They're in the Hall of Fame. They just, you know, they're not the same without each other. You know what I mean? When they're alone, it's like something's missing. You know what I mean? Like, Animal yep. without Hawk and Hawk without Animal is just not the same.
It's not the same. Wow. Okay, good answers. All right, I'm going to wrap it up there. But if you can, tell the people how to find you, what's new, what's around the corner, what's next week, what's next month, and all that good stuff.
Yes. So you hear this episode, we are in the mid-season of the Swerve City Podcast on the WWE Network. I love the app. Make sure you guys follow that. I want to also give a shout out to everyone who's been supporting us for all these years and everything that's been going on with me. Thank you for supporting me. What's next? I am in the process of working on my next project, which is probably going to take about a year to do. Erica's son, too. And that's going to be speaking more to my life now. So if you guys were wondering why my kids weren't mentioned or things like that weren't really talked about, that's because I was saving it for this time. So there's a lot of me opening up about this time as an adult. Erica's son just recently came out yesterday. GPS came out yesterday. The group album with me and Swerve. And the solo album. Make sure you guys go to all digital markets. Put in Montezy and Swerve City albums respectively. I am at TZ Scott on Instagram. I am at TZ Scott on Twitter. Me up. I respond to everyone. As long as you're not saying nothing crazy, we're good. And, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/SwerveCityPodcast. That's where all my content is going and all the group's content is going as we build this channel. And that is it, my brother.
Everybody, make sure you grab that Erica's son on any of the digital retailers, wherever you'd like to go. Favorite it, share it, stream it, download it, and spread the good word of good music and good people. So, Montezy, thank you so much for your time. This is another episode of Random Encounters, a longer one than usual, but what can I say? When we got an interesting person, we talk a little longer. So thank you for your time, and I'll be back with another one. And I want to take us out on a song. So which song would you like for us to play?
Oh, the song we did, man. The greatest ever, brother. The song that we did. All
right.
The greatest ever.
Whatever it is. All right, so this is the greatest ever. This is Random Encounters, my TZ Mega Ran. We out.
Peace.
Yeah. Yeah. The greatest TZ, ever. What up?
The greatest ever.
Mega Ran, let's go. Hey, hey, yo. I couldn't locate it, so I made it. Underestimated, now cats are calling me famous. Goodness gracious, I remember when they hated. Now I'm all over their playlist. I must be the greatest, but truthfully, I prefer to be humble. Cause the same ones that love you are waiting for you to stumble. Waiting for you to crumble under the weight of the struggle. With to get you in something, but they won't stay for the rumble. Share the keys with my G's, open open some doors. Upstreams, only dead fish go with the flow. Going on top of the gathered, awaiting my challenger. I know my days are numbered like the boxes on a calendar. I hear the whispers, but the beat goes on. One man band, but I prefer to toot my own horn. And sample that and loop it, mix, master, and produce it. Transform like a mutant, creating my own movement. Ex-teacher, never stop being a student. Ran, went through it, so y'all won't have to do it. Yeah, watch these goofies online debate each other while we toast up. Here's to the greatest ever.
Greatest
salute.
Ever. Greatest ever of being here. You know the story, serving you what you need in here. You know the story, there ain't another me in here. Couple trophies, I just keep it fair. Greatest ever, yeah. Greatest ever of being here. You know the story, serving you what you need in here. You know the story, there ain't another me in here. Couple trophies, yeah. I just keep it fair.
When it comes to the greatest, have TZ in your mentions. A gangster with magnums that will proceed with protection. I proceed to live the life, but the purpose legit. The blood be thicker than water, but the bandage don't fit. My rhyme traditional, gain additional. Surface lyrical, styles with AJ as I maintain individual. Swagger with some jewels in my speech, prove the release. Living on prayers, Bon Jovi in Greece. I'm not a player of the game, Dreamcast lost his license. Defeat the enemy while I proceed with the vice grip. I choke them out if they post enough. It takes more than a slaughter to recognize you in the clover clutch. I need a bank, sky suit, mega, the machine, potent dreams, Pacino, the narrowing scenes, but rude boy can't mess with I at night in the sport, break it clean like sobriety court. Hail Mary.
Greatest ever of being here. You know the story, serving you what you need in here. You know the story, there ain't another me in here. Couple trophies, I just keep it fair. Greatest ever, yeah. Greatest ever of being here. You know the story, serving you what you need in here. You know the story, there ain't another me in here. Yeah. Trophies,
right. Paying homage to those who walk before me. The concrete got cracks, but it's gonna still support me. No looking back, I'm attacking whatever's coming toward me. The Lord gave me this voice, so that means you can't ignore me. Higher authority, higher sense of the self. Like at the moment he knelt, I strapped the rocket behind me so I can latch to the wealth. I'm back, but I never left, looking after your every step. I seen what happens when y'all go and turn your back to the ref. Look. Statistically, I shouldn't have made it. I'm just a kid who came up out of the basement. My spot, I would claim it. My job to sustain it. My music, they play it. And now I'm really somebody's favorite. Yo, this feel like the Grammys 2008. Jigga and Weezy, yayin' with Tip, yeah, we are the greats. After this COVID thing, we gotta get on the stage, performing with all the faves. You looking at the future Hall of Fame. Greatest ever, ever. Yeah.
Greatest ever of being here. You know the story, serving you what you need in here. You know the story, there ain't another me in here. Couple trophies, I just keep it fair. Greatest ever, yeah. Greatest ever of being here. You know the story, serving you what you need in here. You know the story, there ain't another man here. Couple trophies, I just keep it fair.